You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 95th percentile of having more blocks than you, and in the 99th percentile of having more text than you. I'm your host, James Marcina, a.k.a. My Shit Don't Stank, Nil Aquina, a.k.a. Tim Jung Il Hardaway Jr., a.k.a. Original Sin Hardaway Jr., and this is episode 209. On today's show, the Knicks beat the Jazz 106-101, snapping back quickly from their heartbreaking loss to the Cavs. We're going to talk about keys to the victory, including the play of Tim Hardaway Jr. and Frank Ntilikina, suffocating second-half defense, and Kristaps Porzingis' quote-unquote off night. Let's start the show.
Yes!
Another day, another comeback win for the Knicks, beating the Jazz 106-101. They went down by as many as 10 early in the game, actually, and were down by 8 entering the fourth quarter. But these Knicks don't care. They're mentally tough. They stick with it. If you're wondering what the big difference is between early in the game and late in the game, to put it as simply as possible, you know, it's an NBA game, so there's a million moving parts. There's a lot of stuff going on. But this was all about defense. Much like the Cavs game, you know, which came down to the Knicks giving up 43 fourth quarter points. It was really their undoing, the defense in the fourth quarter. In this one, the Knicks gave up 30 points in each of the first two quarters. 60 first half points. A lot of that was Rodney Effin Hood, who scored 30 points on the night. This was actually, as far as I can tell, the first, like, random asshole getting a season high this season, which just shows you, anecdotally, how much this team has improved on defense. They, you know, last year, every game they were giving up a season high to some scrub, and it just doesn't happen nearly as much so far. It's early, but so far it doesn't happen nearly as much. But yeah, Ronnie Hood, he had 30 points on the game, 10 of 20 shooting, 6 of 12 from downtown. Also, Donovan Mitchell in the first half, he had 17 first half points, Utah's rookie, and only 2 in the second half. Knicks did a really great job of bottling up the rook when it counted. Give a lot of credit to Courtney Lee there, who tightened up his D on Donovan Mitchell in the second half. The Knicks also had some bad luck in the first half. It kind of carried over from the Cavs game. The Jazz hit some shots, but the Knicks draped all over them. Ingles hit a couple like that. Hood hit a couple like that. There were a couple of long rebounds the Knicks couldn't get to off of missed threes when they were missing. So the first half was sloppy. Knicks gave up 60 points. You know, 120 per game pace. It's a lot. Then the third quarter, Knicks gave up 22 points. And in the fourth quarter, the Knicks gave up 19 points, which is just outstanding. So totaling that up, 60 first half points, 41 second half points. And that was the difference. Their scoring was pretty steady. Quarter by quarter, they scored 27, 23, 27, and then 29 in the fourth. Which is, you know, like pretty much metronomic consistency with that 23-point second quarter being the outlier. So the big difference, in my opinion, was the D in the second half. Why did they play better D in the second half? You might be asking yourself. There are a couple things going on. One of them was that there was no Enes Kanter in the fourth quarter. Just Kristaps and Kyle O'Quinn splitting time at center. They each played about half the quarter. As much as I love Enes Kanter stop, Enes Wolter stop. You know, defensively, wasn't great for the Knicks tonight. No Jarrett Jack in the fourth quarter. Frank played all 12 fourth quarter minutes after coming in at the very end of the third quarter with about a minute to go. Hardaway, also give him some credit. He played 8.5 fourth quarter minutes, had the second lowest defensive rating on the team in the quarter at 61.1. So, you know, if he played defense like that all game, that's good. That's at a 61.1 point per game pace for the Jazz. So, you know, I'm not going to extrapolate too much from that, but very good fourth quarter defense from Hardaway, I think. He was second only to Kristaps Porzingis. You guys have heard of him. He was first on a defensive rating at 53.3 points in his 6 minutes. So that's nuts. I want to talk more about Hardaway in just a moment. First, I want to tell you guys about a new app called Draft. It's a fantasy sports app. I like it because it's snake drafts, one night only. Each person gets to pick one player. You don't have to like manage salary caps. So effing boring. You know, you can play games for $1. You can play games for $100. I'm on there, Locked On Knicks. You can challenge me to one-on-one fantasy duels. I'll sun you, but you can do it. If you download Draft from wherever you download apps, you're smart. You can figure it out. You guys will get $3 with your first deposit to play some free money games. All you have to do is enter the code LONICKS. When you download Draft, you'll get some free money. You can play some games for free. Isn't that good? Everyone check out Draft. All right, let's talk about Tim Hardaway Jr. Like I said, he played great fourth quarter defense, but he came up huge on offense too. He had 14 points in the quarter, including 2 of 3 from downtown. He had one play where he made a really crucial three after an extremely controversial reset of the 24-second shot clock. It came after a ball that didn't look like it hit the rim on the regular game camera angle, but it clearly 1,000,000,000% hit the rim on the replay. And that ball was rebounded by Frank, by the way. Just a clutch play from Frank there. More on him in a bit. Hardaway was also 6 of 6 from the free throw line in the fourth quarter. So just like forcing the action in a good way. Taking it to the rim, making things happen. For the game, he finished with 26 points on 15 shots. That's efficient as fuck, pardon my Italian. He was 7 for 15 from the floor, 3 of 6 from downtown, 9 of 10 from the free throw line. Lots of nice drives in this one, including a beautiful scoop layup on a fast break basket in the fourth that came after a very nice outlet pass from Courtney Lee. On the downside, he did have one like 900-foot three-point shot attempt late in the fourth quarter that made me want to kill someone. Then the next play, Porzingis took a decently contested three, which I didn't like, which was a bummer because the Knicks had gone down. They had gone up by 6 in the fourth. It looked like they were going to pull away. And then they shat away the next two possessions on like these dumb shots, and they let Utah get back within 1. So I would like to see that tightened up just a bit by the Knicks, you know? But I can't complain too much. More from Hardaway. He had 6 rebounds and 6 assists to only 1 turnover, really protecting the ball there, and only 2 fouls, which is part of good defense, you know? Wasn't sending his man to the line. But we've talked about this a lot. At the beginning of the season, Hardaway was both struggling with his shot and not doing other things on offense when his shot wasn't falling. His shot is still not, you know, like all the way back, I think, but he's filling out the box score even when he's not pouring it in. 6 rebounds, 6 6 assists. Shit's sick. He had the highest plus minus on the team at plus 11. And like I've told you guys before, I do not hate to say I told you so. So I'm telling you so. That Hardaway signing, I've been harping on this all summer. It's starting to look like, at the very worst, like it's totally fine. It's totally fine. And it could be way better than totally fine. If he gets hot, If his shot gets hot, forget it. Forget it. I mean, if that doesn't earn me a 5-star rating on iTunes, nothing will. Who else was telling you that this Hardaway signing was good? You know what I mean? I've been harping on this shit over and over again. Like that Knicks, baby. I want to talk about Kristaps Porzingis and what an off night for Kristaps Porzingis looks like. It's 2017-2018. Kristaps has made the leap to superstardom. And here's what an off night for the Unicorn looks like now. He wasn't so hot. Only had 22 points, 8 of 19 shooting, 1 of 4 from downtown. He did have a big 3 down the stretch that put the Knicks up 6. So that was nice. And he was 5 of 6 from the free throw line, nailing his free throws. He had 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, only 1 foul, and he was plus 3. He played some nice defense in this one. Kristaps. I said earlier he was part of that second half surge. Fourth quarter, no one is Kanter, but a lot of Kristaps at center. When we didn't have Kyle O'Quinn, we had Kristaps at center. And he contested a game-high 16 shots. Very active. Sidebar, though. Quick sidebar. I did not like Porzingis shooting on his own basket in the fourth quarter, like the whistle blow, and then he shot a 3 on his own basket and went in. That's like some J.R. Smith shit. You don't do that. Don't you ever come around here no more shooting on your own basket. Even if you think if it's after a whistle, you never know. You never know, so don't do that. Random Porzingis highlight. He had a nice kind of like quasi-sunning of Derek Favors in the first with a rejection. He yammed it on him. It wasn't like a direct yam, but Favors was there. So I'll give Favors the benefit of the doubt on this one. It's only a quasi-sunning, but a nice yam from Kristaps. I would just say, you know, like I said, 22 points on 19 shots. Not terrible, but a little bit off for our superstar. And it seemed almost like he was a little bit mildly frustrated that he couldn't dominate like every single time down on offense, which I respect. But I think he was forcing it just a little bit. Because he had bums like Jonas Jerebko on him. So he's like, I got this. Which, you know, I get it. But an off night for, you know, Kristaps is a great night for your favorite player. I'm talking not to you wonderfully smart people who listen to this podcast, but, you know, your bum-ass friends who don't like the Knicks. Speaking of someone who's not a bum, let's talk about Frank Ntilikina. He led the team in deflections a game, in deflections again with 4. Porzingis was second with 3 deflections. O'Quinn and Hardaway had 2 deflections each, and Jared Jack had 1. Sticking their little paws in the passing lanes, I like it. But Frank Ntilikina leading the team there once again. He had the second highest plus-minus on the team with a plus 9. Just excellent defense at the point of attack from Frank. He had 2 more steals. The only other Nick with steals was Kyle O'Quinn. And I'd like to talk about him for a bit before we get back to Frank, actually. He's like, I look at him the past couple of games, I'm starting to be like, I don't know. He's had a couple of games in a row now where he's had like at least like 2 to 3 plays where I'm like, God damn it, Kyle. The most illustrative of those in this game was he had a behind-the-back pass like through traffic at the top of the key in the fourth quarter that made me want to dump a beer on my cat. Like, I was pissed off. Like, they were all over him. He tried to, like, do, like, a dribble handoff behind the back. It was dumb. I'll give him this, though. His dumb plays seem to not spiral, like, into complete stupidity. I'm just scared that he's about to drop off a cliff. I've been kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop with him. I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but it almost feels like the momentum's starting to turn. But if he can kind of, like, you know, shut the door on these terrible plays after he throws out 1 or 2 in a game, we could have something. That could be some progress. Fingers crossed he doesn't come down to earth, but there could be an opportunity for Billy coming up soon. I don't know. It's possible. And yet, you know, his net rating was right after Ntilikina's. Third highest on the team after him and Hardaway. So he's doing stuff out there, but he's also doing dumb stuff out there. I don't know. Let's talk more about Frank Ntilikina again. Not a huge offensive game for him. He had 7 points on the game. However, 5 of his 7 points came in the fourth quarter. Big fourth quarter from Frank. Like I said before, played all 12 minutes, including two very clutch deep mid-range shots from 17 and 21 feet out. By the way, I'm starting to get really nice at working NBA.com and all those stats. Those advanced box scores. Play around with those. Those are fun. Frank's other 2 points came in the second quarter on a shot that bounced like 7,000 feet in the air off the rim before going through the net. And I thought for sure after that, I'm like, all right, here we go. He's going to rip off some shots. It didn't happen, but he did come through in the fourth quarter, in a nice fourth quarter, including 4 rebounds, which is huge. But we can't deny he is really struggling on offense. This fourth quarter, maybe he, you know, let's get him off the snide. He starts to snap out of it. But it comes from such a good place. Like, he just wants to set his teammates up. He's really hesitant to shoot. But he's going to improve. I don't know. Like, he had a steal late in the fourth quarter that he then pushed in the open court. And if he made the basket, it really would have sealed the game. And he kind of went for, like, this, like, meek layup. And it got blocked when he should have dunked it. But I feel like that happened. And now next game when he gets the steal and leads to his own fast break, he's not going to put up a layup. He's going to dunk it and force a foul at the very least. I still love what I see from Frank. And even though, you know, his offense wasn't great for throughout, just playing winning basketball. Another game of winning basketball from Frank Ntilikina. Got a couple of odds and ends from the game that I want to talk about. Jarrett Jack, say what you will about him, but he did lead the team in offensive rating at 124.9. It's just his defense is doo-doo butter. Doo-doo butter supreme. Finally whipped doo-doo butter. Spreadable. Contagious. Same with Enes Kanter. I don't know. I can't figure him out. I see him play defense and he hustles, but then you look at his numbers and the defense is so much worse with him on the court. I like him so much, though. He's a real conundrum for me as a Knicks fan. Let's talk about Courtney Lee. He looked like he pulled up lame in the fourth quarter with a hamstring injury, but he didn't look worried at all, so I was like, oh, maybe it's not that big a deal. And sure enough, after the game, he said that it was really just cramps, and he also got kneed in the upper thigh / buttock region. So he was limping around a bit, but he said he's good to go, and he's going to play Friday. Another solid game for him. He was part of the defensive turnaround in the second half. One thing I don't like, he needs to stop flipping out after every call. The Knicks picked up a bunch of quick fouls in the fourth. Luckily, they chilled out and didn't keep fouling. But he needs to keep his composure a little bit better over there. You know, dial down the Frank the Tank throwing a chair into the locker room. You know what I mean? Like, just, like, chill out a little bit. You're a vet. Like, play calm. Be a good example for the kids. We're going to talk about Doug McDermott. We're going to talk about turnovers. But first, just want to remind you guys that you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, we would really appreciate it if you headed over to iTunes and rated us 5 stars. Every little bit helps. Do your part. Locked On Knicks. Doug McDermott, another solid game for him. Didn't score a lot, a little bit of an off-shooting night, but he played some nice D down the stretch. I'd just like to acknowledge that. He was part of holding down this Jazz team after a really hot first half start. So props to Doug McDermott. Props to the Knicks in general for holding on to the ball. Only 11 turnovers, an excellent number. They didn't have quite as many assists as we've seen in the past couple games, but still at 18, good number, good ratio, 18 to 11, I'll take it. How good was this win? This win was solid. Just a real solid win. Like, they didn't crap the bed in Cleveland the same way they did in Boston, but it was devastating for a different reason, right? Then they had gone down 0-3 on the season after losing 5 preseason games. And you're like, what the hell? Is this the worst team in the league or what? They snapped out of it, just sunned the Nets. Here, they lose a nail-biter to the Cavs. People are like, oh, LeBron shows you what a real superstar is. He exerted his will. He closed out the game in the fourth after like 3 shaky quarters. And then we get kind of the reverse of that in this game. And the Knicks have kind of a shaky
you know, first half, but then Kristaps sort of gets to play more center against the small Jazz lineup. Knicks exert their will on defense a little bit more. They pull out a tight, close one against a, you know, let's be fair, undermanned team. Jazz missing Rudy Gobert, that's a huge blow for them. But these are NBA players, they're motivated. The Jazz play really well together. Quinn Snyder does a good job with that team. And the Knicks, you know, kept their composure. Courtney Lee screaming about fouls aside. And they held on down the stretch, limited their opponent's points, and just did a great job playing solid, fundamental basketball. They're 8-6. And all's good. You know what I'm saying? All right, I want to thank you guys for listening to another episode of Locked On Knicks. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Knicks. Really appreciate you. Peace! Sweet.